Greetings. This is Desert Jen and my podcast partner, Amethyst Wolf, and we welcome you to Season 1, Episode 1 of Obsidia's Crossroads. Today, we introduce ourselves, explain our name, where we want to go, and what we want to accomplish with this podcast. First, we will introduce ourselves. Amethyst?
First and foremost, I am a witch. If I had to label myself, I'd say I'm a gray witch. The path of a gray witch isn't always clear, but it's mine, and I walk it with purpose, passion, and power. If you're not familiar with the term, a gray witch walks the line between what some might call light and dark magic. I don't see the world in black and white. I see it in layers, in nuance, in shades of gray. That means I believe in balance. I work with both the shadow and the light. I cast protective spells, blessings, and healing work. Yes, but I am also not afraid to hex, banish, or defend when it is needed. I don't believe in the idea that all magic must be love and light only to be valid or good. Life doesn't work that way, and neither does the craft. To me, being a gray witch is about accountability, discernment. Don't do harm just for the sake of it, but I also won't just turn the other when injustice or harm comes my way or towards those I love. The universe is built on balance, light and shadow, creation and destruction, and so is my magic. At first, I tried to be what I thought a witch should be, pure, soft, always giving, but I kept running into moments where I needed to stand in my power, not shrink from it. And that's when I embraced the gray path, not because it was easier, but because it was real. It allows me to be fully magical and fully myself. And it's no coincidence that the deities I work with, Hecate, Bastet, and Kernunos, all understand the balance of light and shadow. Hecate, especially, as a goddess of the crossroads, shows me that every decision, every moment, holds both possibility and consequence. That's the essence of walking the gray path, choosing with awareness. A little bit about myself. I'm 30 years old, and I live in the desert heat of Arizona with my partner of 10 years and our sweet little dorgie. Yep, that's a corgi dachshund mix. Her name is Sophie, and she runs the house, as she should. Growing up Latino in a Catholic household, the journey to where I am now was not easy. My entire family is Catholic, and from a young age, church was a regular part of life. I remember staring up at the saints in the church and wondering, is this really my path? Something never quite clicked. I tried to read the Bible, really tried, but it just didn't speak to me. That's when I realized I wasn't religious. I was spiritual, deeply so. Sophomore year of high school, that's when everything changed. I became friends with someone who, without knowing it, would open the door to the rest of my life. She let me borrow a book on Wicca. I remember taking it home, hiding it from my dad and his now ex-wife, and I read it cover to cover in a single day. That book changed everything. It wasn't just information, it was permission. Permission to question, to explore, to be. From there, I was obsessed. I went on a hunt. Every book, every scrap of knowledge I could find about Wicca and witchcraft. A few days later, that same friend surprised me during lunch break. She took me to the only bookstore in our town and gifted me Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner by Scott Cunningham. That book felt like coming home. Junior year came, and that's when I discovered Witchfolk. May it rest in peace. Through it, I found a community, like-minded souls who saw the world the way I did. That's where I met the group and where I met Desert Jen. Senior year, I went to my first Samhain ritual. It was personal, eye-opening, transformational. After that ritual, I knew it was time to self-dedicate. I told the group, and the high priestess and high priest agreed and stood by my side as I did so. I still remember Desert Jen gifting me my very first wand, and yes, I still have it. After graduation, life shifted, as it tends to. I made the hard decision to move to Arizona. More opportunities? Sure. But leaving my group? That was heartbreak. I still remember breaking the news to them just before Yule. Their faces said it all. In Arizona, I reached out to a local high priestess and asked about classes. I needed something, a place to focus, to grow, to belong. From the moment we met, I was welcomed like family. Honestly, I consider her more of a mom than my biological one. She saw me. As a proud member of the LGBTQIA+ community, I have faced plenty of obstacles, especially in traditions where gender roles are still rigid. But my current group, they've embraced me. I've had to fight for space in some areas where roles weren't traditionally meant for someone like me. But I believe traditions can evolve. And even if I can't win every battle, oh, I'm definitely going to try. I might be fairly young, but I'm confident in who I am and what I believe. I'm always learning, always growing, and I love teaching others not just about the craft, but also about the communities I belong to, because visibility matters. The first goddess to reveal herself to me was Bastet. I had been asking the universe for signs, and one day, while exploring an antique store, I walked all the aisles, and in the very back, there she was, a beautiful statue of Bastet. I took her home that day and placed her on my altar. She is still with me 12 years later. And then came Hecate. She didn't knock, she barged in. Meeting my current partner, felt her presence like a brick wall. I dove into research, couldn't get enough. A few years later, I formally myself. Hecate has been guiding me through life's shadows and crossroads ever since. When I'm lost, she reminds me who I am. And with that devotion came another blessing. My patron god, Kernunnos, stepped forward, and today I still honor him alongside Hecate and Bastet. My journey isn't over. In fact, it feels like it's only just beginning.
This is Desert Jen. I am pagan and foremost, like Amethyst, a witch. I lean towards Celtic magic. I like herbs, crystals, gravel rocks, and any rock my granddaughter finds for me. And just living my life. I am a 66-year-old crone living in the high desert of Northeast Nevada. My oldest son, his wife, and their two children, we all live together. One of my greatest joys in life is watching my grandchildren grow and learn full time. My family went to whatever church was in the town we happened to live in. We moved a lot as my dad was a union carpenter and we went where the work was. We were not religious, but church was what you were supposed to do, not what you really wanted to do. I was baptized in the Episcopalian church, but went mostly to local Lutheran churches when we did go. It never had much influence in my life at all. After I entered high school, the only time we went was when I got caught smoking something I probably shouldn't have been smoking. I have always been interested in the occult. I started researching earnestly paganism in the late 90s when Yahoo groups was the big thing on the internet. In 2004, my 25-year marriage started to crumble and collapse. After I had moved out to an apartment down the street, I was needing some place to pray and cry. I had just found out the real reason for our separation, but all the church doors were locked. Nowhere to go pray. After walking over to the Catholic church, which was also locked, I saw the Mother Mary in the garden. I immediately knew where I belonged, with the Mother Goddess with no locked doors. After work, I went to Tidal Wave Books and bought A Guide for Solitary Practitioner by Scott Cunningham. It literally changed my life. Although the days ahead got dark, and I can't say I necessarily dealt with life as a rational human being, I survived, my family survived, and we came out stronger. On August 4th, my 25th wedding anniversary, I self-dedicated myself to the goddess, leaning strongly on the ritual outlined by Scott Cunningham's Wiccan self-dedication. All I can say is during this process, I knew I had found my spiritual destiny. I knew I had been born into the craft. It had just taken 40 some odd years to figure it out. I soon connected with others in the Anchorage area, joined learning in group circles through, like Amethyst, Witchfox, and Yahoo groups. I have never had the desire to join a formal coven, but a circle of friends with no formal binds to learn and practice together was where I belonged. I have learned so much from everyone I have come in contact with during my 20-year journey. I am far from an expert. I am still learning and will always be in the learning mode when it comes to the craft. I didn't find my patron goddess until the last several years when Hecate called me. I felt it. I yearned her. I dedicated myself to her. I will also admit I'm a lazy pagan. I am still learning what it is to be a faithful follower of Hecate. She does get upset with me. I let her down. Then she comes back with a slap behind the head, and I start listening again. Part of doing this podcast is to help get me back into my practice and into her good graces, to start learning again and sharing the knowledge with all of you. Obsidia. The obsidia in our name is a dedication to my late friend. It was her goal to help the new witchlings coming up in the craft to find their place, to help them find information, and to hear different views. Both her daughters are in the craft and support this podcast. In fact, I do plan on having both of them on this podcast at different points in the future. Obsidia also was also dedicated to Hecate, among others. Although she was young enough to be my daughter, she was my best friend, my teacher. I hope she is listening and approving our version of her dream. I miss you so much, lady. Obsidia was like many that come to the path. They were looking for something they couldn't find in the mundane world because of mental illness. Hers was somewhat controlled by medication, meditation, therapy, and her craft. Living in rural Nevada makes living with mental illness exceptionally hard for the medical end of all of it. She had a large amount of physical ailments, one of which took her from all of us at such an early age. She had a lot on her plate, but it is her stern desire that the two of us do this. Start a podcast and help the many witches coming up to find some reasonable and non-judgmental information and to share our knowledge. Hers was vast. She was what I call an oracle. We had an informal group that included her two daughters, her bestie Ralph, myself, and a roving parade of others looking for somewhere to go. She was always dead on when her divination was used. Always. Didn't matter the method, but she was really attached at the hip to her tarot cards. I have never met somebody who could use the cards so easily and accurately. Again, I miss you, lady. I miss your golden heart and the ear you would lend me when I needed it. So many times since her passing, I have needed her ear. I have needed a hug or just coughing a laugh or one of our obnoxious spell or two on our kids. As far as we are concerned in this realm, you were taken much, much, much too early. Amethyst and I met in a learning circle, as he mentioned, out at what is called Burner Basin. I can't remember how long the circle lasted. I started drifting away when it was revealed we were eventually becoming a coven. My marriage had taught me I don't like outside commitments by nature, and work with a coven is a definite commitment. I can take one or two commitments in life at a time. This podcast, in addition to being grandma daycare and staying out of debt, are my current commitments. Off subject, Desert Jen. Focus, focus, focus. You'll notice I have problems focusing at times. By that time, I had drifted away from the Wiccan path and chose to just identify pagan. Not so many rituals, rules, and reads. Nothing wrong with them. Please don't take me wrong. I know Wicca, and I know it has helped so many people find their way into an accepting community and the empowerment that they so greatly need. But as I said before, I am lazy. I don't raise circle to do spells. I mostly talk to Hecate and ask her to help sharpen my senses so I can find or recognize what it is I need. I also do not work with beings from the other realms. They scare the crap out of me. Had too many experiences before I became a witch. I wish for no more unless I have a necromancer with me. Amethyst talks about being a gray witch, walking that line between shades of gray, and I understand that so thoroughly. I don't consider myself a gray witch. If forced, I identify as a gap witch. General, all purpose. I know. Anyway, welcome. Amethyst, you're going to tell us about the logo?
So we're going to go ahead and talk about our logo. So in the center of our logo, we have Hecate's wheel, also known as Astrophilos. It is a symbol featuring a central six-sided star surrounded by a circle, a triple-sided labyrinth, and an outer circle. The wheel symbolizes cycles and transitions, the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. It mirrors Hecate's role as a goddess of transformation and the liminal spaces between stages of existence. The three arms or spirals represent maiden, mother, and crone, as well as Hecate's dominion over earth, sea, and sky. It reflects her role as a guardian of crossroads. The labyrinth design represents inner journey, initiation, and mystery traditions associated with Hecate. It is used as a protective symbol and invokes Hecate's power as a guardian of boundaries and transitions between life and death, light and dark. Surrounding this are three animals, each one deeply personal to us. The bear, symbolizing Obsidia, the wolf, representing myself, and the wren for Desert Jen. These are the animals we feel connected to, and together they walk in a circle, symbolizing our unity as we walk the path of the craft. Last but not least, we have three torches. Why three, you may ask? Well, the number three is associated with balance, unity, and the cycles of life. It's a number associated with Hecate as well, and since Obsidia, Desert Djinn, as well as myself, are devoted to her, it helps with the flow of the energy of the logo. The torches represent guidance, illumination, and duality. The torches illuminate the dark and lead those that are having difficult times, acting as a light in the unknown. They act as a bridge between different realms, guide souls, and reveals hidden truths. The torches are arranged in a way to resemble a crossroad. Desert Jen, can you explain to our listeners what crossroads are?
The crossroads are the symbol of everyday life. It's those of us that meet at the crossroads to share our craft, share our individual empowerment, our gifts, and then we must choose the road we continue on. Each road is a new adventure, new challenges that have to be met, new boulders in the road to be conquered, till we meet again on the next crossroad to start over again. That is what the crossroad means to me. That is what I see as this podcast. Crossroads, where our listeners can come, listen to our take on the craft, use it, disregard it, whatever they choose. With luck, you will find the roads to travel and individually discover. With that, I ask those of you to do a couple of things for us. If you like or remotely found us interesting, share. Please share on all your social media content and comment. Be honest. Tell us what you thought, what you want to hear. Please comment, share, like, etc. In my closing, I am honored to have Amethyst as my podcast partner. I love his take on things, and he has so much wisdom. Amethyst, your closing thoughts?
Thank you, Jen, for choosing me to walk this sacred path with you and for inviting me to share in this journey of growth and magic. Your trust and partnership are a true blessing, and I am honored to stand beside you as we explore the mysteries and wisdom of the craft together. And thank you, listeners, for meeting us here at the crossroads. Starting this podcast has been a dream come true. And finally, standing in this space, speaking our truth, honoring our journey, and planting seeds for what's to come. It means more than words can express. I walk the gray path, but I don't walk it alone. And if there's one thing I want you to take from today, it is this. There is power in your story, even the messy part. Especially the messy part. You don't need to be perfect or polished or follow someone else's map. Just be real, be intentional, be you. Whether you are just beginning your journey, a late bloomer, or just witch curious, you belong here. Keep questioning, keep practicing, keep reclaiming your magic. Until next time, walk boldly, trust your craft, and as always, may Hecate light your way. Blessed be.
Blessed be. With that, my new friends, remember, stay cool, keep the craft close, and stay weird, my witchlings. We'll see you in 2 weeks.